I'm speaking today with Boris Miles, who is running for state representative in District 146. Now, you, of course, ran for this in 2006 against State Rep. Al Edwards, and you beat him then. Then he ran against you in 2008 and beat you, and now you're running a third time. What made you decide to try again?
The people decided for me. If you recall, my interview immediately after the trial, they asked me would I run again. The media asked me would I run again. I said that I would leave that up to the people. If the people wanted me to come back and be their representative, then I would do that. And in the 2 years that I was off club, I had numerous calls, numerous requests from not just individuals but groups of people and organizations asking me to return to public service life and be their public servant for District 146. This is a district that I'm born and raised in and I love and my family's in. So it was a people's decision, and it was very easy for me to make that decision once I got the support of the people.
Okay.
And the question of the people.
Now, I mean, you mentioned in that answer a trial in which you were acquitted. Talk to me a little bit about that. You know, how did that happen? And, you know, what? Looking back on it now, what do you have to say about it?
It was a strategic and orchestrated political plot coming all the way from Austin, Texas. We have documentation of that, and we've been able to trace that. That was brought into Houston, Texas, and brought into District 146. That was unsuccessful. I've apologized on behalf of the people who attempted to plot and bring us down for just the voice of 146 to my community and to my family and my friends and my supporters. As you know, that we were acquitted. And I will give you the quote from the jury foreman who stated, you know, it was the most open and obvious attempt of a group of individuals to bring down an up-and-coming political figure. After a week-long trial, all the evidence put out on the table, non-testimony by me, and a 30-minute jury, gone back to the jury, and the jury came out with 3 not-guilties, and the jury foreman made that statement. And, you know, that's where I want to leave that in my past and in the back. The people spoke, and the evidence was presented, and the people spoke. And but it was an orchestrated attempt all the way from Austin, Texas, to take me out. And now we've got to go back and continue the work that we started in the 80th legislative session.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the term you served in the House of Representatives. What would you say was your biggest accomplishment, and, you know, if the voters send you back, what do you want to work on?
You know what, you may think this is funny, but the biggest accomplishment, okay, for District 146, they actually got an open and operating and working and a manned district office where people could go to with their state concerns for constituent services and constituent needs. We're not going to talk about, well, we are going to talk about the 25 pieces of legislation that I passed, but most important to this community, they had some place to go. They had a representative that they knew was there, that would listen to their issues, that would correct problems when they needed them corrected, that had an open and viable district office with staff and manned that can carry on their state concerns. Now, second to that, was 25 pieces of legislation that we authored or joint authored and passed in one session of state legislature. Probably the most important piece of legislation was the management bills that we brought back to our community, which is a community that needed to have some revitalization going on. The OST management district, the Sunnyside management district, and the Astroworld management district. And we did some amendments to the Southwest management district that we were successful in getting done. To bring economic development back to our community, a community that was dying off, a community that still has infrastructure issues. But, you know, there's 25 pieces of legislation there. I'm proud of all of them. One of the biggest ones for me personally is the $1 million we got in HIV awareness, because our District 146 has the highest rate, Clough. We have the highest rate of HIV in the entire state of Texas. Okay, that's not something I'm proud of. From my community, where I'm born and raised, my family resides, and my friends and loved ones reside, that we have the highest rate of HIV in that district, and it's going on unknown to people, and it's growing because the youth in our community are not aware. And there's a saying that lack of knowledge and we shall perish. Well, we got $1 million. I was able to secure $1 million of allocation for just public awareness, the fact that we tested over 7,000 youth in our community in one city. Okay, in one city, never been done in the country. Our Hip Hop for HIV testing program, which is now a national program, which has been adopted by the Center for Disease and what is that in Atlanta, Georgia?
Center for Disease Control
has adopted our program, which started right here, you know, with me in my office, and now it's a national program they're doing all over the country. I'm very proud of that.
Okay. And yet, you know, the voters did not reelect you in 2008. What would you say you learned from that, and how is that informing your campaign this time around?
I can tell you that we didn't get reelected last time. And it was a strategical mistake on our part. As you know, that election was when Obama, President Obama, who I supported, was on the ballot. And as you know, across the country, people came out in droves, in magnetic numbers, to support President Obama. And unfortunately, Claude, strategically, we didn't anticipate the massive numbers. I don't think anybody across the country could have anticipated the large numbers of voters that came out. And those voters didn't, in that one session, I'd only served one term, they didn't get an opportunity to know who Boris Miles was, unfortunately. And we didn't do a good job informing them of who Boris Miles was. A lot of those people who went to the polls didn't know that I was the new state representative. They were so used to, after 20-some-odd years of having Al Edwards, they went directly to the name Al Edwards. He was number one on the ballot. We were number two on the ballot at that time. And if you look in District 146 numbers that particular year, it was four times the average numbers of voters that turned out. And we didn't market to them. They didn't know who Boris Miles was. In addition to, a small percentage of that was part of the negative publicity that we had received after our first session.
Okay.
Restrained by the Republican Party and Speaker Craddock.
All right. Looking forward to this election and to, you know, the next legislative session, obviously right now the biggest issue confronting Texas is a multi-billion dollar budget shortfall.
Yeah.
In 2009, there was stimulus money that helped to balance the budget. That's not going to be there this time. There's basically a structural deficit resulting from property tax cuts in 2006. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you see as what needs to be done to deal with this?
Let me start at the top. I see Representative Al Edwards and his Republican friends need to go. I'm strongly supporting the Democratic leadership for the governor's, Mayor Bill White, to be governor. I am 100% in support of that. It's time for Al and his Republican friends to leave Austin and for us to balance our budget and start taking care of the ills of the state of Texas. And I ask the voters on the campaign trail, when it comes time to dealing with a multi-billion dollar deficit, do you want somebody there who is a successful business and entrepreneur that knows and deals with a multi-million dollar business such as Miles Insurance that I've grown here, which is a $56 million annual premium business that I own and operate here? Or would you like somebody who is nothing against ministers and realtors, somebody that deals with real estate and a realtor and a / minister dealing with that every day? I think the people of District 146 would like to have a business-minded person sitting at the table representing them in the 82nd legislative session that knows numbers and can deal with deficits and payrolls and budgets and all those type of things. One of the things that I want to make sure that I pick up the lantern and go right back to work is, we sponsored a bill that never got a hearing in Austin in the 80th legislative session. A couple bills that didn't get hearings, but one that's more important to me is grandparents. In District 146, we have a large number of grandparents that are caretakers of their grandchildren in this District 146, because we lost an entire generation of crack cocaine. So now the grandparents are now the caretakers of these children, and they're struggling. And when times get hard, everybody hurts. And I'd like to see the piece of legislation that we offered that didn't get a hearing, at least get a hearing on the fact that grandparents should be given the same or some type of stifling as foster parents, because they are the caretakers. I mean, I got households in my district where grandparents taking care of five or six grandchildren, and there's not a parent in anywhere around. And if a foster parent can take in a child and get some kind of stipend, then a grandparent should be able to do the same thing. okay? Because it's a big burden on our community. We need to work on some infrastructure problems on both the east and the west side of the district. I just left Southwest 2000 meeting this morning, and they've got some infrastructure issues that we need to deal with over there. The watering hole? Willow Watering Hole received some grant money, some state grant money, and some federal grant and some county money. But that Willow and Watering Hole can be a lot more beautiful, if I can say that. It can use a lot more to that area, and it needs it. Southwest Houston is coming back, and it's coming back strong. And any person there that can have a voice to make sure that we don't get these absentee landlords on these apartment buildings that Southwest Houston has so much of. We need to make sure that when an apartment developer wants to come in, somebody can sit there and say, look, we've got a lot of apartments here that are abandoned or for sale. Instead of developing another one, why don't you come in and rehab this one? You know, and you save you some money on the front end. You can make some money, and it'll help our community grow and prosper and be beautiful. On the east side, we're structuring with just simple things as sidewalks. I know these are not state issues, but the person that can ring the bell for the district at the city hall and at the county and at the federal level is what the district is needing and wanting. We're dealing with simple things as sidewalks. You know, we still have open ditches in District 146. We still have, you know, so there's, believe it or not, Club, there's some people in District 146 that are not tapped into the city's water system. And they're inside the city, but they're not tapped in. We still have some areas of town. People are actually going outside to get water. Okay, Club?
Okay. Let's talk about education, since, you know, it is always the case that the legislature has to deal with funding for education. What is your assessment of where public school funding stands right now? What do you think the legislature needs to do with it in 2011?
I think it's my opinion that we need to change the entire system. In the state of Texas, we spend more money incarcerating an individual than educating an individual. Okay? And I think that's a state of mind that has to change in this state. We spend more money in our penal institutions and incarcerating individuals than we do educating. And we need to break that cycle of making sure, especially out of my district, I've got more young men and women going to penal institutions than I do going on to secondary education, okay? And that's something we need to address. I think we need to spend more money in education. I think we need to reward the people, the teachers that are doing a great job in teaching our youth, our future of tomorrow. I think that we need to find ways to provide them with not just an income, but a livable income where they can sustain and they don't have to depend on government subsidies to take care of their families. I think we need to change our priorities in the state and understand that education for everyone can make a good life for our entire state of Texas. So I fully support giving our teachers raises, find a way to make sure the state our teachers have raises and are getting livable pay wages and raises. I fully support us finding money to put more money into our educational system. I am not a supporter of vouchers, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, but fortunately, I am not a supporter of vouchers. And, you know, I'd like to take a better look at this charter school system that we have in the state of Texas.
Okay. I mean, just recently in the news, of course, Governor Perry declined to let the state of Texas
get
the race to the top funds.
I think that's to me, that's just downright stupid, you know. And I hate to say it so strongly, but I can't imagine how you would turn down money for educating kids in the state of Texas because you don't want the political fallout. That's basically what this is all about.
So you support HISD's efforts to try and get those funds on their own?
Absolutely. And I mean, you have a man in the desert that hasn't had water, and you show him a cup of water, then you pour it out. You know, and that's how I look at, you know, the governor not taking the money from the federal government for education. I mean, his kids have got a great education. How about my kids in District 146?
Okay.
I mean, they deserve a good education and the funding for it.
You mentioned briefly criminal justice issues in previous answer. You know, it looks like right now one possible effect of the state's budget shortage is that there's going to be a serious look taken at possibly closing or consolidating some prisons and trying to change some sentencing guidelines to push people into more alternate
programs
as opposed to throwing them in jail.
I agree.
Where do you stand on that? What would you like to see done?
I think that there's two things that I see that we have a problem in the state of Texas. One, we have too many people that are mentally ill that are incarcerated in penal institutions. As I have visited penal institutions on a frequent basis. I don't know if you remember, but the independent assessment bill that's part of the juvenile criminal justice system is my actual legislation. And when I visited in the 80 sessions, those juvenile facilities, I recognized that we had a lot of children there that really needed to be in mental facilities instead of incarcerated in penal institutions. And the same thing when I visit the criminal justice system. I'm a criminal justice major from San Francisco State University in Huntsville, and I actually took classes in some of the units and familiar with some of the programs and problems and the problems that you have in those facilities. Two things. One, we're incarcerating people for minor crimes such as substance abuse. If I'm not mistaken, some 70% of the people that are incarcerated are involved with substance abuse. If we can start catching those people and treating those people as a disease for which that is, that would be a lot less burden on the state as far as the criminal justice and the penal institutions. So I support that effort. We need to start putting more money in the communities for treatment of the people who are suffering from drug-related illnesses and alcoholism. One. Two, we got a large percentage of people in there, like I said earlier, that need to be in mental institutions instead of criminal justice institutions being taken advantage of. And that's one of the reasons that I filed the independence of residence for the juvenile system, because those children who are suffering from mental problems are being taken advantage of in those institutions, and I'm sure it's the same way in adult institutions.
Okay. And to go back to education, there's been a lot of hue and cry raised over the price of college tuition. As you know, in 2003, the legislature authorized public universities to set their own tuition rate in return for them getting less money from the state. Do you believe that needs to be revisited, and what would you like to see done?
Absolutely, Cuff. I think it needs to be revisited. I think what's going to wind up happening if we don't revisit it is we're going to have a two-tier educational system for those who can afford it and those who cannot. And that's not going to make our state any better. I think it'll bring on more problems for the state of Texas. I think it does need to be revisited. I think we need to find a better way of educating our financially, getting a grip on how we can better educate from a financial standpoint our kids in the state of Texas. And find some alternative ways and some innovative ways of coming up with financing for our students in the state system.
Okay. In 2011, the legislature will deal with redistricting.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the lines for state officials are drawn by a redistricting board, but the legislature is charged with congressional redistricting. The state of Texas is likely to get 3, maybe even 4 additional congressional seats, mm-hmm. including one in the Houston area, very likely. Obviously this is a partisan process, but what would you like to see come out of the 2011 congressional redistricting?
I'd like to see that everyone in the city of Houston get counted, first of all, get counted accurately.
You're referring to the census.
I'm referring to the census. Get counted accurately. I would like for my community, the African-American community, to not put a lot of emphasis on the word Negro in the census. Okay, and make sure that we get counted and counted accurately so that we don't lose any ground as it relates to the census. I want to make sure that the people who are counted, if the number suffice, different communities getting congressional representation, I fully support that.
Okay. It's one other hot-button issue that the legislature is likely to be dealing with in 2011. Has to do with immigration and the border. What role do you see the legislature playing in those issues, and what, if anything, do you want to see done?
Immigration along the Texas border is a federal issue, and I think they need to visit with that and decide how they want to handle immigration. My personal opinion on immigration is if a person is here and has done you know, work in this state, and has provided, has a family that's here, and has provided to the economic system of this great state of Texas, then it's my opinion that they should, you know, be given an opportunity to stay here, be accounted for, and have an opportunity to stay here and become part of the Texas system. Especially if they have family here. I don't want to see families broken up, and one person here and one person in Mexico. So if they've got an interest here and they're here, then they should be able to stay here and have their family here. We need to work on that. But the whole issue of immigration along our border is an actual federal issue. I think very strongly they need to visit that issue.
Okay.
And I don't think a wall is going to do it.
As we speak today, the fate of the Democrats' health care bill in Congress is still kind of uncertain. It is not, obviously, a state issue. It's up for the folks in Washington to decide. But I think every Democrat has an opinion on what they would like to see happen. So let me hear yours.
Well, I will go back to the 80th session where I filed legislation to restore CHIPS for our children, health insurance for our children. One of the bills that I filed, we all filed duplicate bills, and unfortunately, mine wasn't taken. I said we all, my five of us filed duplicate bills, and mine wasn't chosen, but we did get that bill passed, and we were able to restore CHIPS in the state of Texas. I do think that because my district is one of the leading districts in the state for uninsured when it comes to health insurance, I welcome the federal plan that can be inclusive of all people with an option for people who want to opt and go to it, if they can't have the financial wherewithal to opt out or to seek other health care. I look forward to the federal government trying to support that effort. Just the other night, my staff stepped away from my campaign, and we actually made, 400-something calls for Boston, the state senator out of Boston, to help our Democratic Party get elected. Unfortunately, we were not successful in doing that. But I did shut down my operation for calling for Boris for that night, and we actually called into Boston through a system that was it? What's the name of the organization? Help me out, please.
The DSCC, maybe.
Organized
for America.
Organizing for America.
Organizing for America. We assisted them that night, the other night, in trying to make calls for the Democratic candidate in Boston to make sure they'd be trying to get a health bill passed.
Okay, and. And you've kind of already answered this question, but let's sum it up anyway. When people go to vote this March, why should they vote to return you to Austin?
They need to vote to return Boris Miles to District 146 as a state representative because I've been the voice of the people of District 146. I'm not attached to any political machine. I will vote the Democratic line, making sure that the people in District 146 are cared for. There won't be any trickery or games. I'm not controlled by the Republican Party or friends of the Republican governor, most importantly. And most important, we do have a census, and we're getting ready to redraw lines. And they should want somebody there that's going to stand up for the District of 146, you know, without any strings attached to them, without any big name donors coming in that would happen to be Republicans, Bob Perry and Mrs. Perry, that has already supported my candidate in the tune of $20,000. Okay, it's the same trickery we had in the very first session where all these Republicans are supporting my opponent, a Democrat, so say, a Craddock known D. Okay, the same things are starting to happen again, and the people should understand it's because one, the forces behind Craddock, Republican Craddock, are trying to convert him, or not trying, they don't have to convert him, he's already there, to make sure that they get the support that they need to have the Republican run House again. And the census is very important because we are going to redraw those lines in the 82nd legislative session. We want to make sure we have somebody there that's going to stand up for the District of 146 and the congressional needs for across the state of Texas. Not to mention a person that has a business accolade to deal with a multi-billion-dollar budget to make sure that the things of the 146 get done and the people need to get what they need.
All right. Boris Miles, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, brother.